know why dogs roll in other animal feces?
So they can smell like the animal they're going to track down and kill.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, that's why.
Would it have been better if I said, wait, no, I have no idea. Tell me.
No, but not even that. But it's also so that they're not attacked by predators, too.
So I mean, they smell like the predator. I got you. Okay.
Yeah, so they're out there. They'll find carcasses. They'll roll around in that. It's so absurd because what the hell is a poodle doing rolling around? And like, my parents have a border collie.
Right.
And it's the laziest goddamn border collie. You've met this dog.
It's true.
And he'll come down he's good and ready. You know?
Why not?
The thing is, border collies are working dogs. Okay.
Right.
They were in Scotland bred to be working dogs. They are meant to herd sheep and that sort of thing. And the people say, oh, don't get a border collie. Don't get a collie. Don't get a, you know, any kind of sheepdog because they're going to herd your kids and all that kind of stuff. This dog is not a working dog. This dog is the dog in the Highlands of Scotland where all the other dogs would be working and he'd be at the pub drinking a pint and starting fights with other people.
Sometimes you gotta kick back and have a few and let those other bastards do the heavy lifting. Yeah.
but he will still roll around in shit.
Yeah.
Even though he is a lazy ass dog who doesn't herd shit, he will still roll around in whatever gunk he finds in the backyard, whether it's a squirrel carcass or whether it's some rabbit has taken a poop there. And have you ever watched a dog do it?
Yeah. They love
it. They're so happy. I mean, it's like the greatest moment of their life.
The only thing close is like sniffing another dog's ass, and it doesn't really rate comparatively. But that's as close as it gets.
That's a different sort of emotion, because when they do that, they're just like, oh, let me tell you, there's a hint of...
What did you eat last Wednesday?
Yeah, they're like really into it. I mean, there's a different, when they roll around in it, they're just like, oh, yeah.
The best when it's really, really foul is when they immediately, when you see them, whether you've witnessed the rolling and getting into the stink or not, they are thrilled to see you and get as close to you and as close to getting it on you as possible.
Yeah, they're like, look at how bad I smell.
That's
Isn't this awesome?
Isn't it great?
And they have that,
you didn't even see me coming, did you? That's how bad I smell. Yeah.
Yeah, the dog, they have that dog smile where they actually have that smile happening, and they're just like laying on their back going, this is going to take two baths to get, oh, yeah, it's so awesome. And dogs, they love it.
They do.
In fact, the only time I ever see that amount of happy on a dog's face is after it takes a shit.
That's right.
And then does that little dance where it pushes its feet around. It's like, look what I did. Someone's going to roll on that later. And then they'll go outside. And, you know, like my parents, they have this. We have a dog, but our dog doesn't do that because she's too lazy for even that. But my parents' dog will go outside in the winter and eat the poopsicles. Oh, don't judge him.
Oh,
don't treat him
no,
like
I'm
you're
not
like
judging. I'm just the thought of it is just not good. It's not that I'm judging. It's just that
your dog has engaged in the poopsicle thing before.
I don't know. I try to keep a very close watch when we walk, even at night, how much time he's sniffing, if it's an inordinate amount of time, and if he seems to be eating anything, because I'm afraid either A, it's going to kill him, it's fentanyl, something, there's crack cocaine, I don't know.
Fentanyl. He suddenly
somebody
just
slowed
like
down, the popo was on him, and they tossed it out, and he'll be like, raccoon, possum, and then they'll just keel over dead. That's my fear.
He's living in an abandoned factory somewhere in West Virginia, high on meth next week.
Just for a little while. He'll just run around till he gets really skinny, and then he'll fall over dead. You know, it's just when they like lay flat on their side when they're so asleep and so comfortable and wiped out after like a good 3.5 mile walk and 90 degree temperatures. He'll come in, he'll drink a whole bunch of water off the hose.
Yeah.
He'll come in the house. He'll be so tired. You'll give him a treat. And he's kind of like, yeah, I don't know yet. I got to lay down.
Flop. Yeah.
And then he's just out.
Well, but your dog, you mentioned, you say you watch to make sure he's not eating something.
Yes.
Once they start eating something, there is no getting it out of their mouth.
No, but he's so conditioned that he knows. Like, he'll rush. He'll either drop it or he'll be like, I got to hurry. This is so bad. He's going to rip it right out of my skull.
Well, yeah, that's usually what happens whenever my dog, what are you eating? Nothing. I'm not eating anything.
That's right.
It's like a child who finds a piece of candy in the couch or on the floor. And what is that? Nothing. Get it out of your mouth.
He's starting to store stuff like between seat cushions now. Like, you'll go to sit down and I'm like, what the hell is that scratching my leg? And it's like, oh, it's part of a treat. He saved a bit, and I guess he's putting it around for later or something. I don't know where he's.
My parents' dog will do this too. My mom had like a, I don't know, she had a bagel or a muffin or something, and it was sitting. She has this little TV tray. She sits at the on the couch and watches TV. And she had left the room stupidly and did not put it up. And then when she came back, it was gone. But see, this dog is so lazy, but he's smart. But he uses all of his intelligence to serve his own laziness. He does nothing. He does not help the world at all. He just figures out ways to make it easier to be lazy. So then he stole this muffin and hid it somewhere, like put it, and she found it like just sitting there, like on the couch. Like he was going to be like, oh, I'm going to watch my stories and eat this muffin later while you're doing your own thing.
Well, he's thinking ahead. Or, I mean, if he's really old, I have a really sad story. I don't know if I even should tell this.
Okay, what did you do?
I killed my mom's cat.
Wait, you killed it or did you euthanize
it? What's the difference? That's my point. Is there a damn difference at all?
Yeah.
Really?
You didn't like take a Glock and shoot it in the head. You didn't stomp its face in
something. No, this cat's like 22 years old. She's starting to get renal failure. She's starting to go to the bed. She's trying. Yeah. She'll come. She'll howl. She wants to eat. She can't eat. She forgets where she is. She can sort of find her way through the house. She'll come to you. She wants you to rub you. Then she'll come back 2 minutes later. Like, I don't know if I was just here. Can you please help me? It was like she was begging, please get me.
At that point, yeah. I mean, there is a certain time for a cat or a dog.
Right.
Where you have to look at it and say, this, you can't, cause here's the difference. You can explain to a person and you can get the person's opinion. You can't get the cat's opinion. You can't sit there and say, and you can't say to the cat earlier in its life, well, when do you want to be put into hospice? When are you going to be put into kitty hospice? That's not going to happen. The cat and dog don't know that.
This really is depressing. I don't even know why you brought it up, to be honest with you.
I brought it up.
You did. You started with the muffins, and then you just rolling in the crap, and then the poop sickles, and then now death. Killing cats.
Well, but no, here's the thing. You're all worried because you said you killed. You didn't kill.
No, I didn't. I paid somebody else. That's what I did.
Well, but the whole point is
I hired a hitman. Or a hit woman in this case, who was a lady vet.
It's not like the vet's going to be, okay, that's good, give me my $10,000.
No, it was like
I'll be
100.
Walking around when you let the cat out. I've
got to pick up ashes like in a week.
In a week?
I don't know. However long they'll call to go, hey, the ashes are cream. And you don't even know. Is it this cat's? Is it a dog? Who knows what it is? It just could be stuff.
Well, you know.
Do you open it up and check? No, it's just in the little tin
on the
shelf.
Have you ever looked at the dog?
Well, I have a valley of dead. Look, in the backyard, there's a whole lot of dead animals. There's cats and dogs. Now there's mice.
You're saying like you're proud of it at this point. You're
we have saved so many. Listen to me, Chubby. We've saved so many animals. Cats, dogs. The only one that we've ever gotten that wasn't a stray, a cast off, left and tossed out of a car is the turtle that I've had since I was 8 years old, and she will likely outlive me. I stole her from the woods. She was just minding her own business looking for whatever it is that she was looking for at the time.
And she's the one that's going, oh, please kill me.
That's probably the case. Who knows? She's like, oh, my God, the light turned on again at 7 in the morning. Crap, I just wish I could sleep a little bit later. It's just terrible. This is what I want to get to. So the other day, this is how it starts. I go to the DMV.
Did you have to get a new license?
It was just like Beetlejuice, yes. And I had to get the new license, and you got to be compliant. If you're not in the state of Ohio, you're one of like six states that don't have to do this. You will soon enough. You got to give them
Kentucky. Didn't they like shut down flights to Kentucky or something?
Maybe. They got a lot of other problems right now. But, and I love it. I have friends and family there. And I've spent time there, and I've gotten lost in the Mammoth Caves, and I like to go fishing and hang out in Kentucky. But yes, the bluegrass, they may or may not have shut down air travel there because their licenses are having a problem. So I go to the BMV. It's like Beetlejuice. I get that number. It's like way crazy long, and the guy next to me has got like six, and they're on three. And he's old. I know I could take him if I had to. I could have like throat punched him, took his thing, and gotten in line. But
they tend to frown on that at the BMV.
They do. It's a bad thing to do. I didn't do it.
The sign that says no cell phones.
Right.
And the right next to no throat punching.
Correct.
No Chuck Norrising to get a higher place in line.
That's right. Now, you didn't mention Steven Seagal. Is that like not good enough?
Steven Seagal doesn't throat punch anybody. He's lucky if he can lift an arm and like, oh, I have my ham sandwich punch.
But he was badass back in the day.
Back in the day, and then he got really fat. Chuck Norris, I mean, there's literally a line in his where he says, I step on throats. That's like one of the lines from his trailer or something
line.
Like that.
It is a great
throat
line.
Throat crushers. Yeah.
I got a Total Gym. I don't use it, but I have it. And that's good to know. I should. I would be healthier. This is how it happens. I go to the BMV and my mom's like, please, can you, I can't do it. Can you take the baby kitty to the vet? Yeah. And she's like 22. And I'm like,
the 22-year-old baby kitty?
Correct. She's always going to be baby kitty forever and always.
Oh, that's the name. Okay.
That was the name of the kitty. And then I go in there and I gotta wait a little bit and I go in and it's just terrible bad. And they take her out. And so that was like my day. It was, you know, wait in line forever, get a picture taken, get my eyes checked, give some money away, do that. And I found out my passport's not up to date, so I'm supposed to go scuba diving again not too long, but I got to get the passport fixed up beforehand. So I find all this stuff out. Then I got to euthanize a cat, got to put her down because night.
This is a thing people have talked about. I mean, words mean things.
They do.
And context.
You've told
means
me. You tell
things.
Me all the time. I can't say certain words, even though it's you know.
Yes,
go ahead.
That's
go,
the way it
it's
is.
Also words mean things. I know.
Language evolves. Words mean thing. There's a difference between connotation and denotation. If you don't believe me, next time you're in an argument, tell somebody that they're ignorant about something. And it doesn't matter how true you are. You're going to get punched in the throat. You may be at the BMV when this happens. But if you call somebody ignorant, even if they are, from a denotative standpoint, ignorant, you're still going to get throat punched.
Is it better to say you're ignorant to this or you're just stupid? Because stupid means you don't have the capability. Ignorant means you're unaware.
You're going to end up getting throat punched no matter
what.
Like
if you're dumber than a box of rocks or a tank of piss, that's worse than saying you're ignorant. You didn't know. Let me school you on something.
A tank? Who's keeping that much to have a tank? Who are you, Howard Hughes?
This guy I used to... Yeah, that's right. I let my nails
with
grow.
This guy,
don't let anybody
you, hold
in.
On,
foil
wait,
on the
stop.
Windows.
You were answering the question before... explain that one to this guy I know. He had a whole tank of it.
I worked with a guy. He always said it. I've never... By the way, that's the first time in my life I've been able to use that term. And I don't necessarily feel proud of it. But I've been
you
waiting
shouldn't.
To use that for like literally like 35 years I've been waiting to drop that, and this was the first time ever. I may never use it again, but I feel good about it.
I'm glad you got to use your tank of piss now. Oh, there's so much I need to unpack here. First of all,
yes,
let's leave the tank of piss guy around, like, because that's a whole nother story. We'll
yes.
talk about that some other time.
Did I? Maybe I used it incorrectly. You have to understand, it's just been in there in my head, and it fell out. Things just fall out sometimes, and you can't say, you know, it just happens.
That's what they. That's what Janet Jackson said.
It did, and you know, and that was way overblown too. You know how many
of
meetings
course.
I had to go to because of the Chinese throwing star on her nipple. And by the way, nice
you're
pair.
On the radio. Why do you? Why is that? How is that even a thing on the radio?
It changed everything.
Everything.
How
you
say
it? You have a nip
what,
slip live on the air. Oops, you didn't see it, but
action
it
words
happened.
Are bad. Secretion conversation bad. And then it was how you say and framing and everything. Then it was how much you're going to get fined by men's in the FCC, bus, train, whatever the hell, and the white coats and people complaining. And it gets very political because the only time they ever complain about anything is when they're really out to get you.
This is a funny story, though, because this goes back to our history.
Yes.
We're doing stuff. I emailed you once.
Uh-oh,
I think this
no.
was probably about 10 or 12 years ago. Because I was starting my radio show, Fat
mm-hmm.
Guys at the Movies.
Yes.
And I asked you.
Where you can find Chubby and Stick anytime you want it, if not on any
yeah.
other platform. Go ahead, please. I'm
exactly.
sorry.
But I emailed you and I basically said, what can and can't you say on the radio?
Oh my God. Did I reply? Was I nice? I thought
you
we'd
know,
been,
you had a very
talked each other
response.
Longer than that. We've known each other longer than that, haven't we?
Well,
it just
yeah,
seems
but,
like it.
Well, we've known each other longer than that, but when I started the show, because I emailed you, I'm like, hey, what can you say? What can't you say? And you gave such a good corporate answer, too, because you're
I
like,
really?
Well, it, de- yeah,
I,
you know, you're like,
you
well, it depends
response.
On what, well, because, no, it wasn't a bad one, but you kind of framed it in that sense where you said, you know, you can, it's not just like the Carlin's seven dirty words or anything like that. You have to know your audience. You have to know what market you're in, and each market is different. I mean,
correct.
So you gave a very good response, which basically means the most conservative market is what's going to be for everybody at that point if you're doing a
right.
national syndicated.
Unless it's after 10 o'clock, and then after 10 o'clock, it's a parlor and anything's okay. But, or if you do a podcast, like right now, that's what you're listening to. And
yeah.
we can do anything we want.
We can say crazy words.
Anything. Now, we don't because we're grown up men.
We can say pushy fart ejaculation.
I'm uncomfortable with that. That made me feel dirty and bad.
Yeah,
it did.
It's a human biological thing.
But which is worse? Like, okay.
That one's, there's no connotation to that one. That is what it is.
But but Carlin made up those words, and I will hazard a guess that there are some words that are not bad, but are interpreted in a way that makes people uncomfortable.
And it changes throughout the years.
It absolutely does. A perfect example. There's a band, and I've talked to you about this, I think, off of the show and then on the show. They were from maybe mid-90s, and Moist is the name of the band.
Yeah, a lot of ladies don't like that word.
Very good band, but the name ruined them.
Yeah.
Moist. That is worse, I think, than some of the words that you just said a moment ago.
You have a problem with Moist?
I don't have a problem with Moist, but most women you talk to will say, I don't like that word.
Yeah, but if you put it with the other word that women absolutely hate, they will throat punch you.
Like a moist C word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You walk up to a woman and say, ooh, moist cunt, and she'll be
like, oh my God, I can't see, I feel uncomfortable. I literally just, and I don't know if it's all the years on the radio. This is, my aunt listened. She just told me the other day, she would listen. She thought what
don't
we
worry,
did was
I'll
funny
bleep it
good.
Out. It'll be funnier.
It'll be funnier. Better when it's bleeped. We could bleep all kinds of things, and it would be, we should just do a bleep show.
One time I had to explain to a friend of mine what space docking is, because when I did competitive eating, there was a competitive eater who wanted to be, his nickname, he wanted to be Space Doc, and he kept trying to get the, without telling the guys at the IFOCE what it meant.
I don't know what it means. I don't even know that I've ever heard it.
Now, I may have to bleep this, but it'll be, actually, it's one of those things that's funnier when it's bleeped, because I said it on the air, and I bleeped everything, but it's just so horrible. It's when a man, or woman, I guess, takes his or her and puts it up against another woman, and then he inside her.
No, that has never happened. There is no
never. I'm pretty sure I could probably find a video of it.
Why? At what point and how did that come? I mean, seem to be like an idea. I mean, you had to be thinking of some. Just what is the most rank and vile thing that you could possibly do? There's no. It's not like at any point somebody woke up and goes, you know, it would be so hot. If you just do this for me.
Yeah, if you just do this. If you really loved me.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I can't imagine like any woman going, here's what it would really do for me. If you just come over here after like we're going to get some chili. I mean, really beanie chili. Wow. And you, so much so that you get the squirts. And then you just.
Why is it suddenly you're making it gross?
Oh, it wasn't gross from the start? Really? I'm the bad guy. How am I the bad guy in this? My point is, it's so out there, I can't believe that it's possible. And I'm laying it out there how absurd it is. And then you turn it around, and here's the best part, genetically or learned, I go, yeah, I'm clearly the boy. Yeah, it's my fault, I'm bad. Crap.
You've been listening to the Chubby and Stick Show.
Copyright Kevin Carr and Sterling Radio. Subscribe to and rate the Chubby and Stick podcast on iTunes.
Like and subscribe to the Chubby and Stick Show on YouTube.
Contact the show and hit up Chubby and Stick on Twitter.
At Kevin Carr and at Sterling Radio. Music by MichaelBard.com. Credits voiced by Joe Jewett. I'm at DeborahBenner.com.
Thanks for listening to the Chubby and Stick Show, and keep keeping it real.